When I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace, on Mount Calvary take my place. It's then I ask myself this question, who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go. For who am I? When I'm reminded of his words, I'll leave thee never. Trust in me, I'll give to you a life forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son, to fight my battles till they're won. For who am I? And who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go. For who am I? The answer I may never know, why he'd ever love me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go. For who am I?
Thank you. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, please. As you find that, if you're able, if you please stand to your feet as we read the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll begin reading in verse number 27. Hebrews chapter 9, read verse 27 and 28. I'll read out loud as you follow along silently, please. Hebrews 9, 27, the Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Let's pray. God, we ask for your blessing on this service this morning. You have been so good to us, but Lord, we need you again. We ask for power from the Word of God and through our pastor as he preaches, Lord. And I pray if there's anyone here today that is not ready for that appointment with God, they're not ready for that moment to die and meet Christ, I pray that today they would settle that matter and realize, as a song was sung, that you love us enough to die for us, to give us a place in heaven. Thank you for this day. Bless the services on this property, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As you're being seated now, check your cell phone, please. And that'll mean see if you have it. Turn it off. Now, here, listen to me. I want to tell you something that's very important. If your cell phone goes off in the service, it will go immediately to the IRS and you'll be audited. So just be careful. Just turn it off and make sure it's off. Double check that it's off. and bear with me for just a few minutes this morning. You know, the business community has a problem, has had a problem now for some years of people making appointments and not keeping them. If you notice that, you make an appointment nowadays, you'll get half a dozen phone calls reminding you that you have an appointment. Just letting you know, and it's always robocalls usually, you know, it's not usually somebody in human being form. But you get texts, you get emails, you get phone calls, you have an appointment, you have an appointment, you have an appointment. Because people today, a lot of people make appointments and they just don't keep them. So it's a waste of their time and everything else and that sort of thing. In your Bibles this morning, verse 27 and 28, there are four appointments made for you today and for me. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. These are appointments God has made. So whether we want to go to them or not, or acknowledge them or not, doesn't make any difference. You will, listen to me, you and I will make these appointments. Because as it is appointed unto men, and then he lists four things. So if you're a Point County Baptist in a sermon, you know there are four points in the message this morning. But most importantly, here's the thing. See, today, a lot of people today, they think, well, I'll just ignore the whole thing. Well, it doesn't make it go away. You can ignore an appointment and it'll go away, but not these. For as it is appointed unto men, and then he lists four things, we will meet and make these appointments because God said so. Well, what are they? Well, the first one's a very cheerful one. It's called death. As it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. May I say to you this morning, that eliminates reincarnation. You're not going to go out and come back and go out and come back and go out and come back once to die, the Bible says. But that appointment with death is certain. Now, people, look at me. You say, well, Pastor, I didn't come to church to hear about death this morning. Well, the truth is, it's something we need to get a grip on this morning. Most all of us have experienced having a loved one die. Agree? Most all of us have experienced death by someone else in our family, our loved one, a mom, a dad, a grandma, a grandpa, maybe a little one, a child. As a pastor, I've done over 400 funerals in 40 years. We did a wedding yesterday. I think I've only done 30 or 40 weddings in 40 years. 400 funerals for babies, children, teenagers, adults, senior citizens. And it's always fascinating to me to watch if we have the casket present here and the person's body in that casket. That's not them. They've already departed and gone. But if the casket is open, I usually stand here at the end of the service, and as people pass by to pay their respects and then to the family, I watch these folks in line and see how many of them can't even look in the casket. That's a reality. Say, well, Pastor Johnson, yeah, but I mean, let's not talk about that. No, let's talk about it for a moment. Let's talk about the reality that we know, and if you've gotten to a teenage adult life, you've already experienced death. You've already known people who've passed. Since it is a reality, now listen to me carefully, and you have an appointment made by God that death will come. Say, well, I get no encouragement from that whatsoever. Well, then let me encourage you with this. Listen to this passage of Scripture. Listen to it very carefully. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Death for the child of God is this. Look at me. That's it. Just that. No more, no less. It is but a moment. It is but an instant where you cease to exist in this life and you step immediately into the next life. And the Bible says if you have Jesus, salvation, you have everlasting life. Now, here's the thing about that. If you don't, then you don't. I know that's complicated. Stay with me. You either have salvation through Christ or you don't. And the Bible says if you don't, the wrath of God abideth on you. That means literally you're going to step from this life to the next and meet a God you don't want to meet. But now listen very carefully. So that's why you need to have salvation. And you need to get it in this life. And you need to settle it in this life. Because once you do, now look at me. It's not that you will have everlasting life, you do have everlasting life. I can't tell you how many times I stood beside the bed of a loved one, held their hand while I watched them draw their last breath and pass from this life to the next. It is a moment, I call it a sacred moment. And the realization was, I remember with Roy and Frieda Nearing in our church from the very beginning of our church, as a matter of fact, I was in the Mercy Hospital with Mrs. Nearing, and Brother Roy was getting ready to go to heaven. And we were sitting there in that hospital room. It was a Saturday night. It got on to 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, and Brother Roy was in what they call chain Stokes breathing. He was breathing hard. And we just sat there and we watched, and all of a sudden he just drew a deep breath. And without saying a word, I put my hand out, and Ms. Nearing put her hand in my hand, and we watched Roy Nearing draw his last breath and step from this life to the next. We got up and stood beside the bed. The nurse came in, checked him. She went to get someone else, and Mrs. Nearing looked at me and she said, "Pastor, Brother Roy's in heaven, isn't he?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, he is. He sure is." Now watch this. And she looked at me and she said, "Well, let's pray." So we prayed together. And I figured we'd sit there a while till they came and took her arrangements and did all that. That was all taken care of, the arrangements of things. And she said, "I'm going to go home now." And she walked out the door and went home. Were there tears? Well, yeah. They were wonderful people. But see, he passed from this life to the next. That's the house he was in. He's with the Lord. Just like that. That was Sunday morning. By about 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, I got home. Church, of course, on Sunday morning. You know who was sitting right there that Sunday morning? Frieda Nearing. You say, "Well, she didn't care." No, you don't get it. She cared. 55 plus years of marriage, believe me, she cared. But she knew that he had everlasting life. And he stepped across. I said, "Well, Miss Nearing, I didn't expect you in church today. We were up all night." She goes, "You're here." I go, "Well, yeah, but it's okay." And she said, no, this is where I need to be. See, that's different. Now, listen to me. This thing about death, I'm not trying to make it gloomy or dark, but I'm just trying to tell you, and there are people who get fixated with death like it's some kind of game or something. This is no game, but it is a reality. But the truth is, the difference is salvation through Jesus Christ and having everlasting life. Not getting it, not working for it, not reaching out to it, not saying, "Well, I just don't care, it'll happen." Oh, I got news for you. It'll happen, but you better care about what happens on the other side of that. And knowing that you have everlasting life helps you to face this thing a whole lot differently in your mind. So then you don't care about dying, Pastor John. Yeah, I do. Anybody says they don't care are liars. Nobody in this room today said, "I don't care about dying." Yes, you do too. You can say it, but in your heart of hearts, that's not on the agenda today. But if it is, now what then? Then there's appointment number 2 in verse 27. Do you see it? Here's another encouraging concept. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the what? Whoa, there's a good one. Judgment's coming. Now, first of all, let me tell you what that means. That means there is life after death. You notice judgment comes after death. So you die, that's not the end. People think, "Well, that's it for me. When I did, I'm dead. I don't care what happens." No, I'm sorry, but it doesn't work that way. Now, this is God's appointment. Hey, look at me. This is God's appointment. Do you understand something, people? After we die, this life ends, then the Bible says, "I'm going to have to give an account to God for my life." Now, that's a reality. Boy, we're all concerned about what people think about us, what people say about us, what people post about us, what people do about us, our little relationship stuff. We're all concerned about that. What you ought to be concerned about is this. If you step from this life to the next, it's not the end, and there's an appointment you have with God. And it's not your church that's going to stand for you. This church cannot stand for you in your judgment. This church will not stand for me in mine. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, there's time to meet with God. Now, that's a reality, again, that we need to understand. You say, "Well, I don't happen to believe that, Pastor Johnson." That's fine. It doesn't make it go away. Doesn't make it end. And look at me. Do you want to risk that? Let's say we get stubborn, you know, we're going to say, well, I don't care, I'll just die, and that's the end of it. Then you wake up and go, uh-oh, that's too late then. You don't want to, uh-oh's like the next life. When, my friend, look at me, when we know in advance that when I die, I'm going to answer to God. Now, in the Bible, there's two judgments for individuals. One is called the judgment seat of Christ. That's for Christians, people who are already saved. No, your sins are not judged. You're going to give an account to the Lord. He's going to give an account to you of what did you do with your life from your salvation to that moment. Everyone at that judgment goes to heaven. Not because he weighs your works and you get to go, but because he looks at your works and decides what you're going to take with you when you go. It is not what you have at the judgment seat of Christ that matters. It's what you leave with. That's what matters. So that's one judgment. The second individual judgment is called the Great White Throne Judgment. That judgment is at a different place, a different time, and it has a completely different purpose. The Great White Throne Judgment is for every person who did not receive Christ as their Savior. They're going to stand in front of God. He's going to judge their works and determine their punishment in hell. And everybody at that judgment goes to hell. Now, if there's nothing more distinct than those two judgments, I can't think of what it would be. One judgment, you answer to God, your works are judged, you go to heaven. Not so you can go to heaven, but to determine what you're going to have in heaven. The other one, your judgments of your works is going to be determined what kind of punishment you're going to receive in hell. And it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, that accounting day. So then you see, since that appointment, well, I'll just see how it turns out. No one's going to have lawyers at the judgment. Nobody's going to speak up for anybody. Matter of fact, it's hard to find anywhere in the Bible where at any judgment that I've mentioned, anybody says anything but God. He does all the talking because he already knows how it's going. All that is what's called a revelation time or revealing time, manifestation of our lives and what happens. Now, since that is the case, and say, well, since we don't know when we die, I mean, that judgment could come pretty quick. It could. If you're a child of God, the judgment seat of Christ takes place after this other appointment I'm going to show you. We could be facing Jesus tonight with what did you do with the life of the Christian life he gave you? Did you spend it all on stuff and did really nothing for the work of God? Do you still go to heaven? Yep. Because your sins were judged on Jesus when he died. But listen to me, it's what you have forever. And then there's the Great White Throne Judgment. It's what you suffer forever with. So it's appointed unto man once to die after this the judgment. Look at verse 28. And then it talks about this. I want you to see it, please. Notice carefully. This appointment's already been fulfilled, but he wants you to know it's yours too. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many unto them that look for him. Third appointment is Calvary. Now, you don't go to that appointment. Jesus did. He already went to the cross for you. That's why, look at me, that's why when you receive Christ as your Savior, your sins were judged. Where? On Jesus Christ when he died for you. He took the sins of all mankind upon himself. And he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world, the Bible says. At that moment on the cross, Jesus Christ was willing to take the punishment and the penalty and the payment of all of our sins collectively, and God dumped it on the Son of God. And he died bearing that sin, went to the grave, rose again 3 days later. See, Jesus made that appointment for you. Say, well, then what's my part of the appointment? This moment right now. Look at me. This moment right now. Where you have an appointment to do, what are you going to do about Jesus and the cross? Hey, look at me. Hang that junk about church and religion and Christians and, you know, I'll tell you, I don't care for people and churchianity and I don't care for the junk and this kind of stuff. Look at me. I don't want to hear about that because that's not what determines heaven and hell anyway. What determines heaven and hell is what are you going to do about the cross and Jesus Christ? What are you going to do about the fact that he loved you so much? But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I got an appointment with Calvary this morning. Not you go, he went. Not you make a payment, he made the payment. Not what you do, what he did. You got to do something about that. And the wonderful thing about salvation isn't about churchianity. Today we have folks getting baptized. That's wonderful. That is not salvation. Today we're in church, but that is not salvation. Salvation is Jesus died for you and paid for your sins. He purchased the gift of eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He purchased a gift to present to you, but you must receive it like you would receive a gift, paid for. No down payments. I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. I often kid people about the fact that on your birthday, your mom ought to get the presents. She did all the work. We just got born. Don't change anything on that, by the way. September 12th is coming, and you got to be careful. But the point is, see, we get gifts for something we didn't even have any. We were just there, right? God's gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now, look at me. You got an appointment with Calvary this morning. And you look at me. You can do all your excuses. Man, 45 years of preaching the Bible, I have heard bazillion excuses. I'm not sure how many that is. It's a lot. And almost always people turn down salvation because of people who have it. Because of Christians. Well, you don't have to trust Christians to get to heaven. You got to trust Christ. And look at me. And so there's no reason to not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Unless you're stubborn. Too proud to admit that where you are and what you've been is wrong. You got to turn now. You got to turn. That's repentance. You got to simply turn and say, okay, fine. If it's trusting Jesus that'll save me, then I'll do it. Some of our ladies were out witnessing to in the neighborhoods, and they came across a couple, an older couple, and it was in Anderson at the time. The man was dying of cancer. His name was L.K. Spade. He was a big man, lumberjack. But cancer had just withered him away, but had these big old hands on him. He's just a big man. And they were talking with him, and the couple asked to have the pastor come by and see him. So I went the same day. I went over to the house. There he was laying on the couch. His wife was sitting over here, and I sat on the coffee table, and I said, I'm Pastor Johnson. He goes, I'm L.K. Spade. I said, okay, what can I do for you? He goes, well, I'm going, and I don't know where I'm going. I said, well, L.K., let me explain it to you. And I went to the plan of salvation and explained it to him. I said, now, L.K., would you be willing to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and get saved right now? He looked at me, and he goes, let's get to it. I said, okay. Grabbed his big old hand in my hand. He prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save him. Did his funeral just a month later. I turned to his wife and said, Miss Spade, how about you? Have you trusted Christ? She goes, yes, I have. I said, that's wonderful. When? She said, when he prayed, I prayed. Don't you understand how simple this whole thing is? Don't you understand why you will go to hell when you die without trusting Christ? I don't mean to be unkind, but let me be just frank with you this morning. You deserve it if you walk over that cross how much he loved you and not trust Christ.
That's right.
Hey, you got it coming. But it doesn't have to be like that. You have an appointment with Calvary, one more appointment this morning. And this one gives a little more light and a little more hope, I hope. Look at verse number 28. It says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many unto them that look for him. Shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation? Appointment number 4, Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again the second time. The first time he came to his own. The second time he's coming for his own. And part of that will be with his own later on. But he's coming. He is coming again. Yeah, well, Pastor, you know, people have talked about that for centuries. Well, I mean, 2,000 years they talked about it like it was going to happen the next day. Well, we don't know the day or the time when Christ will come back, just like our death. We don't know the day or the time. That's appointed by God. He said it. It's going to happen. You can't get away from it. It's going to be. And the second coming of Christ is set. It's appointed. It's ready. All we're doing now is living in the last moments of the last minutes. I do honestly believe, I every time I preach the Word of God, I think, Lord, let me get to the end of the service before it happens, because they got one more shot here before it's over. That's how quick. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise first. Then we which are alive and remain are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That quick. Twinkling of an eye, they estimate 1/500th of a second. 1/500th of a second. The bodies of the saints are raised and changed. We which are alive and in this mortal body drop the shield. We rise to meet the Lord in the air, and we return to heaven in 1/500th of a second. No time to change anything. No time to update, upgrade. No time to say, whoa, wait a minute. Boom. And you know something? Jesus promised he would come again. So that's how I know he will, because he doesn't break promises. Are you ready for that moment? Today, before we get out those doors in our cars, that instant we're alive and remain, we're walking and from one footstep to the other step, boom, just like that. Well, you know, Pastor Johnson, that's a nice thought, but you see here, I didn't make these appointments. God did. And since he made them, we will meet those appointments. You've already met one, and that's Calvary. The others, they're yet to come. But since we know that they're coming, here's God. Hey, here's God pushing the biblical text button. You have an appointment. Here's God hitting the email button, the heavenly email button. You have an appointment. Are you ready this morning? That's why he told you this. He wants you to know and be ready. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed now.